Welcome to the podcast. As a listener, you're invited to claim your comp pass for our next live full-day Software Oasis virtual AI event with the world's top B2B AI experts. By attending, you'll join our engaged community of founders and executives from over 200,000 leading B2B global organizations. AI won't take your place, but a competitor leveraging it to drive results will. Learn the latest in AI first Thursday of every month. Tap green button at softwareoasis.com or use show notes link to secure your pass. I'd like to welcome everyone to this week's edition of the Consulting Spotlight. I'm your host, Michael Burnswide, founder of Software Oasis. And this week, we're actually joined live by Ty DeGrange. He is with Round Barn Labs. And with that, Ty, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks so much, Michael. I really appreciate you having me on and excited to talk to you today.
Yeah, no, a lot of fun. And I can tell from some of the questions that came in from the audience prior to the episode, there's a lot of excitement and interest in some of the topics that we're going to be covering today related to SaaS and consulting companies online looking to unlock some growth. So let's get into it. With that, I was hoping you could, for anyone in the audience that may not be familiar with either yourself or Round Barn Labs, if you could give us a little bit of your backstory and give us an idea of what got you to where you are and what you do there.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks, Michael. I actually grew up on a working ranch in an hour north of San Francisco. My parents were horse people. My grandfather was horse people. They did other things and teaching and such. But I had a really great upbringing in that way and got to have a great experience. And who knew I would end up in tech and, laptop, jockey, as they say. But it's been a great ride. It's been very fortunate. After college, I was able to get into a Sequoia-backed startup in San Francisco that really exposed me to startups, to tech, to venture, to programmatic, to performance marketing. And from there, it really kind of had the bug and was hooked. So have a long history in that space. I was able to work at one of the early and successful affiliate networks and grow the StubHub affiliate program quite significantly. It went on to eBay in-house and part of the global team that grew their program when really eBay was at its peak in some ways and really had a lot of resources to build and put forth a best-in-class global affiliate program, quite sizable, obviously, at that time. From there, I got to be in-house for a number of businesses, a lot of venture-backed startups, look at ways to run multi-channel marketing. So I like to look at things, from a growth lens, from a the Reforge community has been really instrumental in my thinking, as did a stint at Amazon for me in my career. So I'm really fortunate to have some great experiences. Real briefly, Round Barn Labs has been around for about 10 years, and we've done a lot of different things, candidly, from paid marketing to experimentation to A/B testing. But affiliate influencer has really emerged as just such a critical area that we've really doubled down there. That's where we see a lot of, enterprise client growth. That's where we see a lot of growth. And it's just been a fun ride. We really focused on that and seeing a lot of need there, in particular as costs on paid channels like Meta and Google have gone up so much.
Yeah, and I think, it's so interesting. We've had some really exciting guests over the most recent episodes. But, I think one of the segments that stands out in my mind, we had Stella Garber, who was on the original founding team over at Atlassian. And
that's amazing.
Actually at Trello, and they were acquired by Atlassian recently. Mm. And, I know her journey was very, very traditional in terms of SaaS. They, Trello was one of the very first productivity apps. And, the way solutions like that found their way to market years ago is very different than the way individuals are finding solutions today. So when you're working with different clients, how do you advise them in terms of, you know, getting their hands around some of the right strategies to help, you know, amplify their reach, boost their revenue, you know, build an ecosystem?
Yeah, thank you. And I think what we're in a fun and exciting position to execute, and I think it helps us, is having come from a lot of those experiences, having come from an in-house perspective, knowing what are the kind of growth levers that they can pull, what are the growth loops that they can tap into, having a reasonable understanding of how Google, Meta, conversion rate optimization, a lot of those things interact with performance marketing is a really helpful foundation for us to guide, I think, clients in a way that I think other just affiliate focused teams or individuals are maybe not going to be able to do. I think we can feel their pain to some extent and also counsel them on when it's not time to invest in affiliate marketing or creator marketing. But as you would imagine, because we've done it for so many clients for so long at such a scale, there is a good need for those to knock on our door to ask for that help. And so we really do enjoy strategically thinking about how do we maybe set up a program from scratch? How do we take an existing program and really optimize it? And I think that an interesting call out that we can kind of explore perhaps here is just, it's actually kind of a multi-channel approach. You're dealing with humans, but each of those humans and those businesses can promote a Trello or an Atlassian or a B2B SaaS product or a brand via a lot of different channels. And it's not necessarily you're only working on Meta or you're only working on content marketing or you're only working on email. Through affiliate or creator or influencer, however you want to define it, describe it, you could actually tap into all of those levers and channels via a performance paid approach.
Today, SaaS founders have so many different areas that they need to get their hands around. And I think a lot of it is just that. Like you said, it's multi-channel. You know, it's understanding, or if you don't understand yourself, finding someone that does, understanding how consumers go through that onboarding process in the year 2025 versus, you know, the way things were done in the past.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think that's a big part of what we look at, right? It's not just, you know, the more we can be very aligned from a data and a strategy and execution perspective to that person sitting internally from the CMO to the VP of marketing to the head of growth to the head of affiliate or whatever that might be is just critical. And so, you know, looking at aligning the data we're seeing in an affiliate platform with what they're seeing internally, making sure that their North Star metric is accounted for. We're not just racking up wins on lead or visit or even MQL, but we're minding that ROI, reminding, you know, that closed revenue and being very, you know, mindful of like, hey, is this really giving back the revenue? Is it being attributed correctly? So those are some of the fun challenges that we look at. And there's just such a need for that building of trust through third-party content and sites and providers.
Really is amazing. I mean, I think a lot of things have changed in the current landscape. I mean, you know, SaaS founders not only have product, they have marketing. They have everything related to their solution to get it to market. And now it's not only, you know, marketing regionally or nationally, it's a global space. I mean, a couple of weeks ago, we had Lucas Lovell over at Paddle join us on the podcast. And, you know, there's a platform that helps a lot of these founders, you know, acting as merchant of record as they're starting that journey towards globally, you know, getting the brand out there. But I guess that would be another question. So do you see differences in different regions of the world in terms of that onboarding?
That's a great question. Very unique to, I think we certainly do. it's certainly unique to the different demos and products we're talking about or SaaS tools we're talking about. The short answer is, you know, I think there's certainly some differences. There's obviously some, you know, also some overlapping commonalities in their business use cases. It's a really interesting one. And I think for that, honestly, like it's a good reminder to, we like to really get in close with almost that sales mindset. If, you know, if it's PLG, product-led growth, even almost that, put on that CRO hat or that conversion rate optimization A/B testing hat, and really look at the qualitative data in terms of what are you getting told by the customer through the sales process, where you can get that via, you know, quick snapshots, little, you know, whether it's like gathering insights from them in person, Zoom, digitally. And then on the data side, the quantitative side, there's a lot to be gleaned from looking at segments of users, looking at cohorts of users by geo, and kind of learning that rather quickly. So not necessarily relying just on the qual. So if you combine those, you know, we are seeing that those be some stark differences, but certainly some commonalities without, you know, without giving away too much. And I think you kind of think of it that way, and you put on that sales, CRO, customer empathy hat. There's usually some really good things to unlock there that we can bring to performance marketing to do a better job of performing to goal.
So if you're looking at the current landscape where we're at today, do you see some big misconceptions or common mistakes that companies are making when it comes to partner marketing strategy? Like if you were to bullet
point. It's a really good question. Yeah, I think one of the areas that I think one common trap is that treating it like it's programmatic, treating it like it's Meta or Google or LinkedIn is one big trap to avoid. It is a bit more relationship based. It's a bit more long term. It is not going to start stop on a dime. It's more of a cruise ship that you kind of have to guide and course correct through a more longer term means and looking at through a longer lens. Another piece I would say is concentration risk. There's a lot of brands that will stand up a partner program, and that 80-20 rule really applies to partner marketing a lot. So sometimes it's the 10% that are driving 90% of the value. That can be scary for a brand because obviously you have a concentration risk. We've seen programs, we looked under the hood where it's even more. So a lot of times we'll come in and work with brands to avoid and mitigate and improve upon that and diversify a program to de-risk it.
Sure.
I think a last piece I'll say is, There's an explosion of content out there that can educate people on software. And I think it's that going beyond one particular type of partner type. Don't go too far on creator only. Don't go too far on content educationally. Don't go too far on, you know, you can invest in so many different channels within an affiliate program. I wouldn't necessarily write a business model off until you've gathered more data. But there's just a lot there, and pricing it right. Just a lot of times people get caught up in, oh, we set the price point to pay out this partner XYZ and we never look at it again. You don't want to pull the rug out from under partners, but you know, regular monthly, quarterly reviews of that performance is really important. Look at what is the ROI? What is the new customer percentage? What is that MQL or SQL rate? What is that conversion rate? What kind of LTV is coming through that cohort of users? Because a lot of that information can be used to inform, hey, maybe we should be paying this partner more. Maybe we should have a conversation with this partner as a human. To maybe think about being more efficient and paying them less. So those are some big ones I would look at if you're considering optimization and avoiding pitfalls.
Interesting. And can you give our audience an idea? I don't know if you can share specific case studies or specific clients, but you know, a little bit of a day in the life of maybe one of your current clients or a past client, of what things look like before versus after working with Round Barn Labs and what that was like.
Yeah, I mean, I'll be honest. You know, one in particular, multi-multi-billion-dollar global brand, didn't have a partner program at all. And after nearly 3 years, I mean, even before that, I'd say after two, you're looking at a channel that is now one of their most efficient. You're looking at something that's really highly diverse. You're looking at a multi-billion dollar brand that can now tap into, you know, dozens, if not hundreds of creators, to really educate. You know, I think video is a really powerful mechanism. Obviously here we are on video.
Sure.
That's been something that consumer tech brands have tapped into with us, and certainly B2B SaaS brands have tapped into with us. And so it's not the only lever, but I think that's a really big one that in this case has really worked well. You know, we're doing that through giving them regular partner suggestions every week to deep dive strategic QBRs and quarterly business reviews to say, here's what's missing. Here's where we should go. Here's the gap analysis vis-a-vis your competitors. So
you're really providing that 10,000 foot overview as to here's where we are, here's where we need you to get to. You're like the guide along the way.
Yeah, we are. And I think, you know, we're always striving to be more strategic. And sometimes we can only be as strategic as the kind of maybe the scope or the partner allows, for lack of a better term. Obviously, right. We take a lot of ownership on our side to bring that to our engagements. But I think that's an accurate statement.
Yeah.
And it's not it just saying, like, hey, yeah.
Yeah, it sounds like you're really doing more than just laying out the roadmap. It sounds like in a lot of cases, you're actually doing implementation or working along with their marketing team to guide the implementation based on your background.
Michael, great point. It's often a way, there's not a huge pool of talent in partner marketing generally.
Yeah.
And so oftentimes it's just about taking it off their plate. And it can be all of those things, but it's a lot of tactical as well.
Yeah, no, that's really, it's amazing. And I think it's very needed because I think there's so many opportunities in the space. And I think, you know, consumers are one heck of a lot more savvy, you know, online than they were years ago. I think people are really looking for genuine communication, honest, real feedback and dialogue. They don't want marketing messages or ads or thing. They just swipe right past that.
Oh, honestly, Michael, that is one of the biggest things we're seeing in the data just in the last, you know, 10 years, 5 years, 6 months. People are coming out of the woodwork outside of marketing saying this movement is taking over a lot of what we do on a regular basis. The explosion of influencers. I joke about it as hyperbole, but in kind of to get discussion going that like influencers are the new oil. I mean, they are. Marquise Brownlee is a good example. I mean, he is one of the leading consumer tech YouTube voices at an insane level. I mean, Apple is. Was the CEO of Apple sat down with him and had a fireside chat? I mean, you have Gordon Ramsay, you know, getting in front of Hexclad and being kind of part of their board, practically, I believe. We have seen so much distrust, unfortunately, just kind of how things have happened in terms of how people view certain parts of pop culture, certain parts of news, politics, people, businesses. They don't necessarily always, you know, look at, you haven't been given a lot of reasons to fully trust businesses over the past 20 years, right?
Yeah.
And so, you know, people are really leaning into other friends, family, people like you and I to guide them. And so if they're a business to go to G2 Crowd to see honest, genuine, authentic, hey, this is what I like, this is what I don't like, this is what I recommend you do. It's just, it's kind of taken over. You see,
what's amazing to me, you know, we've seen such a transition from traditional search online to AI assisted search, you know, all of these traditional search engines, your Google, your Bing, your Yahoo, are seeing steady declines in search. You know, I was just looking the other day, some big names, I mean, HubSpot, Salesforce, mm-hmm. that accounted, you know, for a huge volume of their traffic from mm-hmm. traditional search. You know, they're seeing literally 80% declines in organic search, which is just unprecedented. And as you know, obviously, traditional ads are getting more and more expensive every day. So it's really so important to find other ways to bring not only consumers to your products, but engaged consumers that are really genuinely connecting with your brand, connecting with your messaging, all of that. I think we're seeing that firsthand.
Oh, it's absolutely happening, and we're seeing in the data. I mean, even those working in the paid ad world are leveraging as much of the creator influencer world in the ads themselves. They're trying to get existing customers and models to build out, you know, human models, not LLM models, to build out, you know, ads. On top of that, yes, you do have AI coming, and that's kind of exploding literally as we speak. So it's interesting, and I think like it's exciting to be part of something that has that tailwind. There's so much need for it. There's people really clamoring for the traditional affiliate side, but also the creator side. And it's kind of creating a lot of positivity around our space and a lot of interest in what we're doing.
Well, you know, I know you're a fellow podcaster, if I heard correctly. So just to give you a little shameless plug, what's your podcast? What do you focus
Thank
on?
You. No, I appreciate it, Michael. You know, we're coming up on, I think, 80 episodes now. It's been a lot of fun. We've talked to a lot of people in our performance marketing space, some people in the growth, product-led growth community. We've had a lot of B2B SaaS platforms, but B2B SaaS businesses on there. It's called Always Be Testing. It's kind of a riff off of the Glengarry Glen Ross scene, sure. Which is just classic. And I love the movie and love the humor and the dark.
Always Be Closing. I love it.
Yeah. Always Be Closing. But there's so many people have come on and talked about that their experience in experimentation and saying like, hey, if you don't have a certain amount set aside for expanding into new channels, trying new things, documenting, learning those things. I mean, all the growth hacker stuff that came up in the 2015s era or 2010s era that kind of became a little BS. I think the good stuff that came out of that was around having those really clear assumptions and documented experiments. And we try to really live that. And so the goal of the pod is really to talk to really smart people to deliver a lot of learnings. Like did you learn from that test? What did you learn from that ad campaign? What did you learn from that channel? What did you learn from that work experience? And then sprinkle in some fun life stories as well. So it's been fun, and appreciate you letting me riff on it.
You know, I'll be honest with you, the thing that that always amazes me, and I have to say this is changing pretty quickly, but I think it amazes me the volume of brands that just don't get it yet, and they're still just pouring yes. all kinds of money down the drain, you know, towards things yes. that were the way it used to be. Whereas, you know, even podcast advertising, I mean, you know, you're connecting directly with a very engaged audience. You may not have a huge volume of listens, but you have someone's attention for the better part of an episode, you know, and it's amazing. I mean, yes. We're seeing it firsthand. Every single episode across all three of our podcasts, the actual ad spots are sold out indefinitely. So, you know, we see
congrats.
A huge transition in this space, you know, firsthand. And I think a lot of brands are starting to get it.
Oh, congratulations on what you've built, and it's awesome. I love to hear it, and it's been a lot of fun. I mean, you are part of that creator economy. I am part of that creator economy. I have something going live here shortly where influencer, as it's related to the performance marketing world, I think they're going to capture, they're going to generate $10 billion this year.
Yeah.
So, like, you know, we're sort of onto some stuff and onto some things. We're not necessarily getting it all right every time, but
no, not at all.
It's
so
fun.
So for some of the, you know, individuals listening to the podcast, one, you know, I always like to throw in a few actionable tidbits. What are some of the details that they should be thinking about as they're considering building out a partner program for their organization, whether it's a product or a service or whatever it is? You know, maybe they're like that company that had nothing and they're just starting from scratch, or maybe they're at the very early stages of just getting things off the ground. Do you have a bulleted list of what you like to recommend?
Absolutely. I think product market fit is key. Obviously, that's an elusive concept. It's highly talked about in startups, but, you know, seeing that recurring revenue go up into the right, seeing that consistency, to have that retention and engagement, to use that, you know, reforge kind of language, have that monetization engine dialed in before you really go aggressive on acquisition is, I think, really important. I typically like to see some other type of paid ads. Excuse me.
Sure.
I typically like to see some other type of paid ads, like a Google.
As you mentioned earlier, it's part of, yeah.
Yeah. I would just say, like, I would typically like to see Google, LinkedIn up and running and performing well before you launch an affiliate program. And then we try to really look at a lot of data around, you know, conversion rate, that funnel process for product-led growth, SaaS, PLG, so that, hey, we have a sense of what this funnel looks like. And we've got some partner feedback and some data and some experience to say, hey, this can work or it can't. You know, once you get over that north of 50 million a year, it helps a lot. And just in from a, okay, you can invest in this. You can build something here. So there's a longer checklist to get into, but I hope that gives you some.
Yeah. And I think, you know, building on that point, I think it's hard to ask someone else to promote your solution if you haven't figured out how to, you know, get the metrics down with your own sales. So I think, you know, if you're asking someone else to invest their time in generating sales, I think you need to figure out that whole funnel.
Yeah, it's a great point, right? Like, you just hit the nail on the head on the core reason, right? You're asking third parties to invest their time, money, and effort to build and promote you when they can promote anyone and everyone. And so to have your systems pretty dialed in, you know, it's one of the good and bads of affiliate, creator, influencer, right? You can't just, it's usually not the channel I would start with. Can it be your most efficient? Can it be your best? Can it be 10, 20, 30% of your revenue for some brands? You know, it's possible. It takes a lot more time than Google and Meta and LinkedIn.
Well, I'll share with you, my mom was an entrepreneur at heart at a very young age. She started her first business, and you know, her vision was always hire the best people that you can surround yourself with, and always find someone that's been there and done it before you, so that they're not learning in your dime. And that, I think that goes a long way. And you know, it's the same type of thing with affiliate or partnership marketing. You really need to dial it in before you can ask someone else to jump aboard. So,
absolutely.
So are there some favorite tools or technologies that you like to use in scaling a partner program for your clients that you just are your go-to tools?
Yeah, absolutely. So I'll share a few. You know, for impact.com has been great, great way to manage payments, handle all tracking, recruit partners. I would also say that for B2B SaaS, Partner Stack has been very strong. They've invested a ton and they're very focused on B2B SaaS. Others, I would say, you know, we've had a lot of success with creator.co. on the influencer side of things. Okay. So thinking specifically through the lens of creator and influencer, those are some that I would take a look at. And hopefully that gives the audience some things to chew on. And there's certainly a lot more that we look at. Yeah, I think
in the early days, there were not so many solutions, you know?
Yeah, I think a really important thing to start wrapping head around is also like attribution, incrementality. Those get into those complex questions of, is this actually driving value when I look at TV spend? When I start spending like 2 million a year or more, when I have like 4 or 5 channels, it gets complex. And so thinking about really accurate attribution, really accurate incrementality, you know, if I remove a channel or a test, would I have gotten this customer? Would I have gotten this lead? So things like House, Northbeam, Paramark, I'm looking at. So these are some of the big tools that we've had on the pod, we've tested, we're talking to, we've seen clients benefit from. We try to be good at curating the short list and saying, hey, here's what we recommend. You choose what you want. We'll help you with XYZ part of it or send you to someone who can.
Sure. No, I love it. And are there certain, this is a more of a question that came in from a lot of different people in a lot of different ways from the audience, but are there some KPIs that the company should be watching most closely as they're scaling a program?
You know, it's funny. There's in partner marketing, one of the better ones to look at is like earnings per click. And so it's not one that internal teams really will look at a lot. EPC is the common acronym, but putting yourself in the shoes of the partner that's promoting you and kind of relying on the income, whether it's an individual or a business, is good. And you can kind of think about, just like you're saying, hey, here's my North Star metric. Maybe it's, you know, engaged users after a certain period of time, or, you know, an SQL, or obviously B2B SaaS, you're going to be looking at stuff like that, MQL, maybe it's just a lead. But for every, think about how much it takes for them to bring someone to your landing page or your website. So oftentimes they'll look at it from like what did I earn for each 100 clicks I drove, which is oftentimes an EPC metric. In affiliate and creator and partner marketing, that's a really good barometer for them. And so obviously you're going to be very focused on your North Star metrics to make sure it's really tied to your growth loop, your foundational growth strategy, and that your agency partners and your affiliate partners are following that. But I think the brands that are doing great and really nailing it is they have enough empathy to kind of at least think through, okay, does the juice worth the squeeze for this partner? So they're sending me 100 clicks. What are they getting in return? Obviously it has to be profitable for the brand, but is that payout there for them with the equated value? So that's a big one, I would say. And obviously, you know, your classic B2B metrics, you'd want to be able to see that funnel, that lead, that MQL, that SQL, that that engaged user after a certain time, depending on the B2B SaaS brand. We deal in more PLG, product-led growth, as you could probably tell, but those are really powerful. And if you can kind of have that empathy on the partner metric side, then it helps you be a better driver and strategist and helper of them to grow for you, because they're really the ecosystem. They're really the ones doing the heavy lifting. Obviously, the brand is paying the bills and managing and kind of guiding, giving them the creative and the landing pages and the strategy. But the partners are the ones that their authentic voices kind of shouting to the rooftops. Hey, you should check out, you know, HubSpot or one of the other softwares out there.
Sure. And as you know, and I know, and we talked about earlier, there are so few firms that really get this space. So if you were to give a shout out to the kinds of organizations that you were able to move the needle the most for, that really will be able to, you know, where it's a real win-win relationship on both ends, who are they? What do they look like? What kinds of organizations?
Yeah, I think on the B2B SaaS world, it's probably the product-led growth software, the SaaS out there. There's just better feedback loops, and it's a little bit easier to scale that way. Sure. I would say that, crossing that, $50 million a year revenue ARR is it just, there's a bit of an arsenal available to them. They probably have a lot of those things I mentioned earlier, such as a fairly developed performance marketing kit, but maybe not a mature partner marketing kit. Kind of an unwillingness and awareness to align. Like, a lot of times they have ambassadors for friend programs. A lot of times they have implementers. A lot of times they work with agencies to, like, a HubSpot, certainly is an agency model, right? So I think thinking if they're willing and able to kind of align strategy and incentives, so one's not outweighing the other, those all can grow together in a partner ecosystem, which is kind of cool. So you could technically combine affiliate, influencer, some of your content strategy, some of your implementers of your software, kind of like partner evangelists, and kind of, if you think about them similarly, I think they can all kind of work together in unison, as opposed to like either competing or one's kind of being neglected. That's, I think, the holy grail of B2B SaaS growth. That's what I've seen. And if they have somebody internally that knows affiliate really well, that's an exciting thing, because then we could be the external team that kind of wraps around them to really propel that even further. And they're doing a little bit more of the like, hey, this is why it matters internally stuff.
Yeah, so it's really like being a band conductor and mm-hmm. keeping everybody organized and in tune and in sync.
I love that.
So
well said,
Michael. I'm glad that we've made it this far in the podcast without mentioning the AI word. But I'll ask you one question. Sitting in the space that you're sitting in at a high level, you see a lot of different things in the landscape changing. How is partner marketing changing based on AI?
That's a great question. Partner marketing is changing because of AI. I'd say that we are implementing a lot of it into our systems. And so where it can help people make their lives easier, take things off their plate, that's a big piece of it, right? I think the other piece is that, with this rise, there's, Google's already kind of cleaning it up. There's like a lot of muck out there, and I think in creative, in content. And so in some ways, I think it's kind of exacerbating this challenge that we talked about earlier, right? Do you trust what you're getting fed? Are you trusting the articles you're reading? Are you trusting the marketing that's being fed to you? Was the Coca-Cola ad that you saw an AI-generated image or not? I think from my view, it kind of just underscores the need for that human, authentic third party. I think people would rather hear from Michael's extensive experience talking to hundreds of experts, consulting, working in software, having your podcast, getting your perspective than AI. Yeah, we get it. The AI can be, PhD level at some point. We get it. AI can spit out deep research. And yeah, now as of 2 days ago, OpenAI has they're blowing up ad creation now, because now you can spit into it visual images like you hadn't before. It's moving crazy fast. So it's coming for us. It's going to be impacting a lot of areas of our life. But I think my view is like, lean in and get the knowledge, try the tools, test the heck out of them, try as much as you can, use them to your advantage to improve your workflow. You and I get to now show up to work with this arsenal of robots, essentially, whereas before we didn't. So maybe the expectation of our impact goes up a bit. Maybe we have an ability to do more as the AI tools get better. But I think what it does also do is underscore even more the need for that real human, thoughtful connection and somebody that somebody's on video, you know they're real. You met them in person, or you've seen them. They have a history with them on social media. You've connected with them, and they're saying to you, like, "Hey, man, this is what I like about this software. This is what I've seen out there. This is what I recommend. Here's why." And they're kind of having an educational conversation with you. Like, that's always going to be of value. And I think the human authentic side of the review and the education piece is only going to be more valuable in AI.
Well, I really appreciate the deep dive today, Ty. That was some great areas that we covered today on
Thanks,
the
Michael.
Consulting Spotlight. We've had Ty DeGrange from Round Barn Labs. We'll leave a link in the show notes for anybody that would like to reach out. And for anyone that has not listened to our other podcasts, we have Consulting Spotlight, Career Spotlight, and you can keep up on everything going on here at Software Oasis by going to softwareoasis.com/subscribe. And once again, Ty DeGrange from Round Barn Labs, thanks for joining us on Consulting Spotlight today.
Thank you, Michael. Thanks, everyone. Talk soon.
Thanks for tuning in to the Software Oasis Podcast Network with more than 200,000 listeners each month. You're invited to join our engaged community of B2B founders and executives at our next live full-day Software Oasis virtual AI event with the world's top B2B AI experts. Reserve your comp pass today, get ahead with real AI strategies, join the first Thursday of every month. Tap green button at softwareoasis.com or use show notes link to claim your spot today.